Blog Talk Radio.
Yep. My bad. Yo, what's up, everybody? It's Link Keys Real Talk, back with another episode. We never left. Hold on. Let me get it together.
Yeah.
All right. We out here. The past 24 hours is crazy. We got to get to it. There's really nothing that's going to take priority over that in this episode. Pardon my voice. I feel like I'm losing my voice today. I don't know what's happening to me. But anyways, I got a little sore throat. It is what it was. Anyways, we got to go right away. What's up? Lee, how you doing?
Yo, what it do, man? What it do? Got a lot of jumping to tonight, man. A lot of stuff jumping off.
That's right, bro. UFC 294 is next weekend. But it feels like it's this weekend. With all the stuff that just got announced in the last 24 hours, it feels like it's this weekend. It's next weekend, but it might as well be fight week because this feels like fight week. This reminds me of the UFC 279 craziness that happened, ironically, around the same time last year. That was in September, and this is the card after that a year later. So this is the October card. Last year was the September card. Ironically, both cards had Khamzat Chimaev on it. That was the last time we've seen him in the cage, was on that card when pretty much they did musical chairs, you know, with the top three fights on the card. They pretty much all swapped opponents in something that I've never seen before. I don't think MMA has even seen that before. I don't even know MMA period has seen that. That was crazy. That was absolutely crazy. Everybody switched opponents and they switched weight classes. It was crazy. Dudes were fighting at catchweights. It was wild. But this one is a little bit different because we have, instead of guys switching opponents, you don't have guys on the card swapping out with other guys. You have the main event where Charles Oliveira, this is what they said, right? Just in case people didn't get the full story, this is at least what I got. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but okay. What I got was this. Charles Oliveira slipped on a banana peel. He basically slipped on a banana peel, in my opinion. This reminded me of when Tony slipped on the cord to the speaker. Like, was it, what was that, like two, like the day before the fight that time?
The day before the fight, during the media.
I think it was at the media.
The weigh-in.
Day,
yeah.
You know. He was literally at one of the events for the – he was at one of the media events for the event, you know, during fight week, slips on a banana peel, basically, and Tony fell out of that fight. And this one was a little bit different. Charles Oliveira was in – this is what they said. They said he was in his final sparring session and that he got caught with a shot, obviously, and it pretty much cracked open. You know, he got a pretty – Nate Diaz style cut. You know that cut that Nate gets? I want to say it's over his left eye. And it happened when he fought Masvidal, and that was why that fight got stopped, because the cut, which happens to Nate, you know, in many of his fights, if he gets hit there, he just has that cut that, you know, hasn't fully healed or whatever the case is. And he's kind of prone to, if he's going to get hit there, you could cut Nate open pretty easily, but it'll look like he's in worse shape than he really is, because that cut, you know, we've seen that time and time again. And that probably would have happened with Charles Oliveira. He got just above his eyebrow, split wide open, Nate Diaz style. And I don't know if it was a situation where they were saying the doctor wouldn't clear him to fight because he had that injury, or if his camp was just like, we're not going to fight because if we fight and basically if that happens, if he gets hit there, he could get cut open and we could end up losing in the fight by TKO, which I think is bogus. Y'all know that. We could end up losing the fight by TKO in a doctor's office because of a cut that we knew about and just kind of like a precautionary thing, you know? And I lean towards saying that's what they looked at it like, is that they just didn't want to take the risk. And also another point of it is that I know Oliveira hadn't even touched down in Abu Dhabi yet, which we know is also a problem. You know, you want to get down there and adjust to the climate. I feel like fighters should be down there. I mean, I don't have the exact science of it, but I say you should probably be down there like a month before the fight. You know, you want to be there and you want to be comfortable there by the time you're getting ready to fight, not like just hopping off the plane and getting in the cage, you know, a week later. I feel like that wasn't the best game plan. So I'm kind of glad Oliveira, you know, that he pulled out for that. I'm kind of glad because I want to see him, you know, at 100% take that fight. But how do you feel about it, bro? What do you think? You think that was a good decision?
Well, reading on ESPN, I have it up right now, and I'll just read what Oliveira said on his social media. And I quote, in my last training session here in Brazil, I ended up suffering a headbutt. It opened up a very deep cut. I had 8 or 9 stitches. I really don't know. Oliveira said, it's a very deep cut to be able to fight, to recover in little time I have and put on a great fight. So my team, together with the UFC, decided to pull out the fight so I could be 100% ready for the next one. He continued on to say, we couldn't go into it when we were at 80% ready. We have to be 120% ready for this fight. You know, that's what Oliveira said. The Islam came back and said he wasn't surprised that Oliveira pulled out the fight. Then quote from Islam, his new opponent saying, go. I respect him because he took the fight. This guy's really tough. You want to stop him, you have to choke him or knock him out. This guy's going to fight 5 rounds, but he added, I am the best fighter in the world. You have to show people who is the best. Doesn't matter who is coming at you. So my thing is this. At first, when you first told me that, well, when I first saw it, I really didn't read up about it. I think you sent me something last night, and I really didn't read up on about it. And I wondered if it's fair or foul. Because sometimes, you know, man, some people might be in camp and they don't feel like, they're at their best and, you know, they might come on and say, yeah, my lower back hurting or something like that. Something that you really can't diagnose and just pull out of a fight. So I was kind of, and plus, I thought Oliveira, you had brought this up before, that you wanted Oliveira to fight Islam in Brazil. Because the last time he fought Islam, it was in Abu Dhabi, and that's where he lost at. And he campaigned to fight Islam in Brazil, but, of course, the UFC, you know, gave the fight to Islam in Abu Dhabi. And then, you know, Islam came back and said, well, he fought Volkanovski over in New Zealand or Australia, wherever Volkanovski from. So I thought maybe Charles may have been, you know, soaking about that, but it's a legit injury, and I get it. You don't want him to go in there, get punched, then boom, it open up, doctor come in. Yeah, man, we got to stop the fight, because basically nobody wants to see that. That's not good for the sport. You know, that's just like TJ coming in there with one arm, the dumbest thing I ever seen at UFC in a title fight. You're going to come in there with a dislocated shoulder, going up against the champ, and you can't do nothing. So I'm glad he pulled out. But I think this is the fight that people want to see anyway. You know, Volkanovski has been clamoring for a rematch against Islam. Since their last fight, he felt like he actually won the fight. If you watch the fight, it was a very competitive fight. Islam couldn't do all the things he do to everybody else to Volkanovski. Volkanovski takedown defense was impeccable that night. And out of the two fighters, I want to say his striking was better. He was a smaller guy. So hats off to Volkanovski taking this fight on short notice. But I'm thinking, Keith, that he probably was a standby fighter anyway, bro. They just never announced it. I'm thinking he was a standby guy anyway. So, you know, it's great that we get the main event still. We get two of the top 5 pound-for-pound fighters in the world, you know, going at it again for the second time. But the only thing I worry about now, Keys, is if Volkanovski loses. If he loses, he can't stay down at 145 forever. He's going to eventually have to come up. He's not going to get another title shot, as long as Islam is the champ. So basically, this is his chance right now to beat Islam. I guess then that falls back into the thing that me and you starting to hate is trilogy matches, trilogy fights, you know. And, you know, man, it's just, we just got to – can't put the horse in the cart in front of the horse. Got to let it play out and see what happens. But good job on the UFC for getting Volkanovski in there. Hats off to Volkanovski for taking the fight. But I want to say secret. I think secretly he was a backup standby fighter anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I saw the report that it was Mateus Gamrot, which I completely disagreed with. I didn't like that. I saw that he was the official backup. I saw that it was Mateus Gamrot, which must have been fake news. And even if it was, and he was the backup, I mean, we know very well that that doesn't necessarily matter. I mean, Dana White, he's going to make the best move for the company, and that was what it was. But it also could be that that report was fake. It was not true. And that it's like you're saying that, you know, the Volcano was training for this fight the last couple months, you know. It's very possible that he came out of that fight with Yair. He defended his belt, and Dana White gave him a call, you know, that Monday or Tuesday after it, like they do when they do their matchmaking meetings, said, we're going to lock in the fight with Islam and Charles Oliveira in Abu Dhabi, and asked him to be the official backup. They're talking about it like it just happened, like they just called Volkanovski, you know, yesterday or last night. They're saying that, you know, they're treating it like they just called him. I don't know, bro. I don't know. I mean, they're making it sound like it just happened overnight. But at the same time, I mean, hey, do I doubt that Volkanovski said yes on that first phone call? Not at all. I don't doubt it at all. I believe he would. You know, Volkanovski would probably fight him on 2 days' notice. You know what I mean? But I think it's probably more likely what you said. I think he's been training this whole time. And even if he didn't think it would actually happen, I think Dana White probably gave him an idea that it could happen, you know? Like, maybe he wasn't the official backup, but he was just, like, behind the scenes, a standby that was right there. Like, he was like, the private backup, you know what I mean? Like, I think he was just like, Dana, you know, he's like, okay, maybe you just be in shape, be ready to make weight. And I imagine Volkanovski just went right into a training camp after the Yair fight as if he was going to fight, but there was no guarantee. And I think that is a very likely scenario. And because you see how quick it came about, and for a fight of this magnitude, you know, and versus a guy, you know, of the skill level that Islam is at, that's not a fight you want to take on 11 days notice. You know what I'm saying? I remember saying the same thing when Bobby Green did it. Number one, Bobby – actually, shout out Bobby Green, by the way. We're going to get to that. Bobby Green, we're going to get to you. Don't worry. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about that shit. What was I saying? So, yeah, I remember saying the same thing when Bobby Green did it. When Bobby Green fought – I think he was either Foody fight, either Nasrat, or he fought Ally Kinta. It was after one of those fights that he took, and he was coming off a one or two wins, and then Islam needed an opponent. And then he fought him on short notice. I think it was like, you know, 2 weeks' notice.
20 days.
I remember saying.
Yeah. It was like under 30 days.
Yeah, it was probably 2 weeks max that he took that fight. And I remember we got on the show and you asked me about it that night. And, you know, a couple of days later, whatever. And I said, like, I don't like it for Bobby Green. I think this is a bad decision. I think, you know, he should have just – I know you want to make the bag and get that quick money and, you know, see if you can make it happen. But I just don't think that's a good – you know, I don't think that's a good play. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe they probably offer them good money to do it. I'm sure they do offer these guys good money when they come in on short notice. But, I mean, I just don't think Islam's a good guy to fight on short notice. So, given that, I think what you're saying is even more likely, because why would Volkanovski – he would be a genius to make everyone think and even make Islam think that he's on 11 days notice when he's really on a full camp. What do you think about that, bro?
Yep. I think Volkanovski has been training. I think his mindset after his last fight was, if something happens, I might be able to get into that fight. I might be able to take somebody's place. And I believe he's been training, bro. And if he has, genius. And if he hasn't, still genius. Because what you got to lose? You still, your skills are still good. Your, what we've seen from Volkanovski, he is a top flight mixed martial artist. So I think, like you said, they probably could have threw the bat signal up on Thursday before the fight. And I bet he would have been there Friday, weighed in, made weight, and been ready to go on Saturday. I just, that's how much belief I got of Volkanovski. Now, whether or not he would have, whether or not that would have been smart, I would say no, that wouldn't have been smart to do. But, you know, I like the fight. I'm glad it ain't Gamrot. Gamrot, like, sixth rank. I really don't think he has anything in his toolbox to beat Oliveira or Islam. So, yeah, I'm glad it's Volkanovski. But it should be a hell of a fight, man. And the one thing you did say that I kind of sort of, I ain't going to say I disagree with, but I understand your point. If I was a fighter and I was fighting Abu Dhabi, I would at least get there maybe no more than 10 days prior, but no less than 7 days prior. You have to give your body time enough to adjust to the time difference, the heat, the humidity, because the weather over there is really, really different. It's dry, it's sandy. Man, at night you feel like you're freezing. During the day, it's super hot. So, yeah, you do need to get over there to give your body time enough to adjust. But I probably wouldn't get over there. Like, I'd probably get over there if I was a fighter, if I was advising a fighter. We need to get there at least 10 days, but no later than 7 days prior to the fight.
So, yeah, that's all fair. I mean, and me saying a month is just like a guesstimation. I really don't know what would be, you know, an accurate amount of time or what would be the most ideal amount of time. I'm just trying to, you know, go a little further out. So it's like, okay, like they're comfortable, you know, at that
point. So you totally adjusted. Okay. If you get there a month out, you have no excuses. Because your body should be totally adjusted to the weather, the time difference, the heat, everything. So if you get there a month out, there are no excuses.
Yeah, and that's what I'm, that's what I guess that's what I was just going for. I was just like, you know, it was just a guesstimation. I'm like, all right, let me like set it out a little bit. Like, let's set the time back and think, like, all right, like, how long would you want to be living somewhere to where I feel like you're comfortable with the conditions and the location, you know, the area. I was thinking a month.
Yeah, I
was like, okay, if you're out there a month, like you're going to be comfortable to a degree. I mean, you're not as comfortable as the residents, people that really live out there and they really been there for, you know, most of their life or whatever. They're there just multiple times a year or something, but you're still comfortable compared to, you know, the average person or someone that would visit or these fighters that go there, you know, in much shorter, you know, time frames before the fight. But the thing is, so
real quick, Keith,
go ahead.
Let me jump in before we go to the next thing. Did you see the thing I sent you about Islam talking about he wants to fight for another belt if he wins this fight? Now, me and you have a problem when fighters do this. You haven't even beat your opponent yet, and you're already talking about what you're going to do next. And you bought the fight probably, is Volkanovski the number one pound-for-pound fighter, or is he number two? Well, he's either one or two. You bought the fight the number one or the number two pound-for-pound fighter, and you talking about going up and fighting for the belt at 170, I think. But this is his exact quote. And tell me whether or not you got a problem with this. Islam said, I don't know what the UFC has planned. My dream fight is for the second belt. Of course, I'm under contract, so whatever UFC says, I will fight, no problem. But Edwards versus Kobe, I really believe I can beat the winner. I look at their skills and what they have as champion, and I know my skills. It's going to be a good fight. I'm not saying I'm going to beat them easy. It's going to be a hard, tough fight against a big guy. I believe I can finish those guys. And then he follows up with this, which kind of rubbed me the wrong way, concerning Volkanovski. I gave a chance to that guy, so they have to give me a chance too. I gave a chance to a guy from another division to come to my weight and try to take this belt, and he lost. I want my chance too. Come on, bro. Volkanovski had already announced that he was planning on moving up. So it wasn't like to your division. He had already announced that he was going to be moving up. The UFC just sped it up for him. So I don't like this, man. Stop putting the cart in front of the horse. You about to fight one of the best guys in the octagon, and you talking about going up to maybe fight Edwards or Kobe. Come on, man. What are we doing, man? How you feel about this? I know how you feel, but...
So, I was at work at the time you sent me in, and there was, you know, whatever was going on, I kind of scanned over the article, and I thought it was saying that, I read a different thing. I didn't see that. But either way, it doesn't matter. You're telling me what it was. And, all right, so I'll just point this out. UFC.com, the top 5 pound for pound, just to, because I actually didn't know that this changed again, but I imagine it changed when, you know, John Jones won the heavyweight title. So John Jones, the number 1 pound for pound. Top 5 is John Jones. 2 is Alexander Volkanovski. 3 is Islam Makhachev. 4 is Leon Edwards, and 5 is Charles Oliveira.
I got a problem with that.
Yeah, Leon, you think, yeah, Leon at number 4, right?
Yeah, I got a problem with that.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that either. Especially Leon, we can't even, yeah,
we can't even
we're not
get
feeling
him to fight,
that, bro.
Man.
Yeah, Usman was fighting all the time. Usman's about to fight this weekend. Look at that. We literally got another Usman fight. We got Usman versus Chimaev on 11 days notice before we got Leon to fight after their trilogy fight. That's crazy. And Usman is the one that got KO'd in the rematch. He came off a KO, basically turned around, fought him 7 months later in the trilogy, which I feel like was kind of soon for Usman to come back from that. Especially how he got flatlined.
I think he lost, yeah.
Yeah, it was the way he got KO'd. It's not like he was, like, standing DKO'd. Like, he got KO'd stiff. You know what I mean? Like, so I thought that was a little soon for him to come back. But, hey, it is what it is. They fought. And now we already have Usman. We have Usman moving up to 185, actually. Let's point that out, too. Let's just point that out. Usman, we're getting Usman at middleweight versus Khamzat Chimaev on 11 days notice, and we've yet to get a Leon Edwards title defense announcement versus whoever the hell he wants to fight. I really don't even care who he wants to fight at this point, because welterweight, bro, these dudes, like, this division, I gotta say, this division interests me less and less, like, because these dudes, I feel like they all just talk. Like, most of these guys, I just see them tweeting all the time and just articles and interviews they're doing. Bilal Muhammad talking about all his shit that he's always fucking going on about, you know what I mean, which I'm kind of getting tired of seeing that too. Like, Bilal Muhammad, bro, how about you just fight? How about you just fight and shut up? You know what I mean? Bro is always, like, going on about something. And you know, and you know, I've been a big fan of Bilal, but it's like, bro, you talk more than you fight nowadays. Like, you really do. Like, who have you fought? All he did was fight who'd he fight? Fought Gilbert Burns? Yeah,
I'm looking it up now.
I think he fought Gilbert Burns. That's his only fight. It's like, bro, Gilbert Burns fought 3 times by that point. That was his 3rd fight of the year. You fought 1 time. You know what I mean? Like, Usman is literally about to fight Chimaev at 185. Like, Bilal Muhammad is always talking, like, all the time. Where was he for this? You know what I mean? Anyways, Bilal Muhammad, that's a guy I've given a lot of, you know, respect to over the years. I like Bilal, but it's just, he's just one of those dudes, bro. He's just always talking, bro, and he just don't be, he don't be fighting. You know what I mean? He just be talking
now,
all the time.
Now, you know what, Keys? I bet you they offered a fight to Bilal Muhammad. I bet you right on that. I bet you they offered a fight to him because his last fight was Usman fought in March, Bilal fought in May. So basically they fought like maybe 45 days apart. So I'm thinking they probably offered a fight to Bilal Muhammad and he probably turned it down. But if we go up to that division, the actual the middleweight division, I'm trying to see who they would offer the fight to. Robert Whittaker fought, because he was supposed to fight Paulo Costa, right? Yeah, he was supposed to fight Paulo Costa. So, Dola Deasy, I don't think so. Johnny Emblin, I don't even know who that is. Tory, Sean Strickland. It's like, I don't know who they would have offered the fight to, but I'm quite sure they probably called Bilal Muhammad. And they probably called Usman probably out of respect, probably thinking that he might not take it. And he shocked the world. He probably, hey, Cole, you told me that when I read it that he was taking this fight, I was shocked, bro. I was like, wow, he's going from 170 to 185. So, but, man, this is a bang up. Actually, I want to say the two new fights are better than the original two fights.
Yeah. I agree with that. I agree. And I think these are both way, honestly, I think these are both way better fights, bro. I think these are both way better fights. Like, and that's not to hate on Oliveira. That's no shade. Like, I wanted to see that rematch, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, which is more appealing? A rematch where a guy basically got dominated and finished in the original fight, or a rematch where it was extremely competitive in the original fight? And it's very debatable that they gave the decision to the wrong guy. Which rematch is more intriguing? The second one. You know what I mean? The Volkanovski rematch is more interesting because we had an extremely competitive first fight that most of us counted Volkanovski out in. And he shocked the world. He looked incredible. And then secondly, Chimaev versus Paulo Costa. Now, first of all, y'all know if you listen to this show, bro, I don't think I've ever really said much good about Paulo. I don't think I've ever really said much good about that guy, bro. I think, honestly, it's kind of crazy because out of all the people that, like, I've gone through, like, dudes that, like, I really didn't like over the years watching, he might be, like, the most, you know what I mean? Like, I really... Like, John Jones, like, I've had a lot negative to say about John Jones, but I really don't have much to say about John Jones anymore. Like, I think we squashed that beef, man. It's all good. You know what I mean? I'm not – my gripe with John Jones is done, man. I don't care. But even then, regardless of the fact that, you know, I'm a fan of John Jones today, and I really don't slander him. I've really had, even during that time when I really didn't like John Jones, I had said more good things about John Jones on the show during that time than I've said about Paulo Costa.
But I think your criticism of John Jones wasn't John Jones the fighter. I think your criticism of John Jones was John Jones outside of the octagon. It was always the stuff that he was doing or saying, you know, that was, you know, preventing him from being the guy that, you know, we wanted his talent and his character to be one of the same. That's it. I think that's basically what your gripe was with John Jones.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. And these days, I mean, you don't see headlines about John Jones. You do, but you see headlines about like his fight rumors and, you know, what he said he was gonna do, and, you know, MSG, Stipe, heavyweight title, Cyril Gane. Like, you just see fight headlines about John Jones these days because he's been doing good. He's been on his best behavior, I feel like, at least from my point of view. I mean, you don't see, you know, like, any of these situations going down. And, I mean, John Jones is wilding out, getting arrested. Like, he's been doing his thing. So, it's hard to have bad things to say about him. I don't really know. If there's people coming out with bad, I don't really know where you're getting that from, you know, these days, because I really don't see what you can say about John Jones these days. He's really been, I think he's been doing really good in pretty much all aspects. I really don't know what, you know, you can really say bad about him. But yeah, Paulo Costa, you know, I don't like that guy. You know what I mean? Paulo Costa, I just, something about him, bro, just bothers me because, and his thing is like, he's always talking trash. You know what I mean? He's always talking so much, and it's just like, bro, you talk so much for a guy that is really not that good. Like, I shouldn't even say is not that good. You're not even good. Like, he's just like a very, you know, typical fighter you would see. Just like a big dude, you know what I mean, has power, you know, has some endurance, can take a punch. But, like, what really else does Paulo Costa do? I mean, he's never, like, he talked a bunch of trash. Pretty much the big fights that he's had, he lost. I thought he lost to Yoel Romero, but that's a whole nother, you know, situation. And that would be an example of that, you know. I didn't watch his fight with Marvin Vettori. I think both of them kind of suck, but, you know, that's another topic, too. That was pretty much the loser's bracket fight, if you ask me. That was I lost the Adesanya fight, and who sucks worse than the other was what that fight was. So that's pretty sad to me. Paulo Costa, though, so what I was trying to get to is that, you know, Khamzat Chimaev versus Paulo Costa, I mean, I think Khamzat Chimaev was going to slam Paulo Costa on his head in that fight and smash him to pieces. You know what I mean? Like, Khamzat was about to eat him alive, bro. And that's just what I think. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that think that Costa's too big for him and, you know, the power is going to be too much. You know, we saw Chimaev when he had the standard bang with Gilbert Burns and, you know, he was getting touched. And it's like, bro, explain something to y'all. The only reason that we even saw it. Why are you laughing?
The way you said, let me explain something to y'all. Go ahead, bro.
Yo, let me explain something to y'all, okay? The only reason that we even saw that, because people love to say that, you know what I mean? Oh, Chimaev, you know what I mean? Versus Gilbert Burns. First of all, I've been told y'all that Gilbert Burns was going to do good in that fight. We both said he was going to do good in that fight. So remember that we told y'all that. We were saying that it wasn't going to be easy like the way Chimaev was making it out to be, and like the fans were making it out to be like he was going to run Gilbert Burns over, and we said that it wasn't going to be that way, and that Gilbert Burns is a lot better than what the media was basically pushing leading up to that fight. So that was point A. But point B is, and this is why I say, let me explain something to y'all, is that the reason why we saw Khamzat Chimaev in that predicament was because he respected Gilbert Burns' level. And he respected Gilbert Burns' grappling and his Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and he was wary of the fact that if he were to go to the ground with Gilbert Burns, which he could have done, he could have done it, but he didn't want to. He fought the style fight that he did on purpose. You know what I mean? I don't think it was a case of, oh, I can't get this guy to the mat. I think it was he could get him to the mat, but it was very dangerous to even do that. You know what I mean? To even play that and fight that kind of fight with Gilbert Burns is a very dangerous game to play. If you're going to go to the mat, you got to pick somebody better. You got to pick somebody a lot worse than Gilbert Burns to go to the mat with. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty much what it comes down to. So we ended up seeing a fight with Chimaev and Gilbert Burns where they stood in front of each other for that 15 minutes. And that's not
Gilbert lumped him up in that fight.
He did.
And
but that's
man.
Not, but that's not going to be. But when
nah,
have we ever seen? Yeah, but we're not going to get. Yo, they. It is not going to be. Him versus Costa was not going to be that kind of fight.
It was going to be. It's going to look like him versus Holland. That's how it was going to
be. Yeah, and he was going to get slammed on his head, and you know that fight could have probably ended in the first round. Like it could have. You know, I'm not saying definitely it would have been one round and done, but it very well could have ended in the first round because Costa was not going to be able to fight the kind of fight that he thinks. And for people that talk about his takedown defense, what takedown? Where have we even seen? I mean, I think Vettori might have tried to take him down. Maybe Romero. I don't remember Romero trying to take him down. I mean, that fight was a while ago. I got memory loss. Y'all know that. But I don't remember Romero trying to take him down. I know Vettori might have tried to take him down. But who else has Paulo Costa even fought that even has high-level grappling? Can anyone point out where? So they talk about, his takedown defense is so good.
I'm looking at his everybody he's fought in the UFC.
What is that based
on? And none
on,
of the guys,
you know what I mean?
Everybody that he fought in the UFC, none of them are takedown or wrestlers.
Yeah,
even Izzy don't even wrestle. So,
yeah.
Lou Rockhold, stand up. Marv Vettori does have ground game. Yoel Romero, he does, but I don't think he did in that fight. Uriah Hall, Johnny Hendricks. I mean, I think one of the things that needs to be pointed out about Paulo Costa is keys. This has to be a first, bro. This dude fought one time in 2018, one time in 2019, one time in 2020, one time in 2021, one time in 2022. And this would have been his first fight in 2023. This guy has one fight a year since 2018.
And he's just overrated to me. I really don't think he's, you know, I shouldn't say he's that good. I should just say I really don't think he's good. I don't think he's an elite fighter. You know what I mean? You could say he's good, but like we're not gonna talk about him like he's a top guy. Y'all just like to, you know, the girls
I'm not
just
gonna
think,
say
you
he's
know,
good. This guy's not good.
I'm not. You saying he's not good?
I'm saying he's not good. He's a one trick pony, and only thing he got is that right hand. Outside of that, he can't do it. He hasn't shown me anything else in his game that another fighter should be scared of. Only thing they have to do is not drop their hand and defend the right hand, and they can do whatever they want against him. I think against Izzy, he tried to throw the right hand, Izzy countered, boom, boom, bam, knockout in the story. So, yeah, you know I'm not a Dan Hooker fan, but Paulo Costa is right up there with Dan Hooker in my book. All they do is talk, bro. All they do is talk. Get in there and show us something, man. This dude, Paulo Costa, has fought one time each of the past 5 years. And how the hell did the UFC even justify getting him a title shot for a guy that fights one time a year? So, hey, man, I'm glad Usman stepped up. And I think Chimaev, this is going to be a tougher fight for him, Keys. Because Usman is a world-class wrestler. You think Chimaev is going to try to institute the same game plan he did against Gilbert, against Usman? Because remember, Gilbert and Usman used to be training partners. Now, our boy Usman, man, his hands have definitely got better since he became, since he, you know, been working his way up to being the champ and all that, his hands is caught up to his wrestling. So, and he going to be bigger and probably a little stronger. Man, I think this is going to be a tough fight for Hamza, man. I really do think this is going to be a – I think he would have preferred the Costa fight over this.
Yeah, I mean, the Costa fight was definitely a much easier matchup for him than Kamaru Usman. And I think the thing here is that I think there's a possibility that, you know, Usman had been training before we knew about this too, you know. And I mean, I was just looking at, you know, you see Volkanovski's Instagram post, and I don't know if you can do it. I mean, you might be able to do some bridge. You could just search locations, but, I mean, his location Instagram already shows that he's on Fight Island. So it seems to me that Volkanovski was already out there, you know. So if you're telling me that they just called him last night, and that he's already on Fight Island 24 hours later, I don't know if I believe that, bro. I don't know if I believe y'all. I mean, I think that Volkanovski, this was already a possibility, man. And I think if he's already in Abu Dhabi today, he's on Fight Island tonight, I just don't think that I think he was already out there, bro. I think so. I think he was already out there. And he was training. And because the fact is this, is that say that they didn't tell Oliveira or Islam that Volkanovski was the backup. Maybe they both knew that, but say they didn't know that, right? They wouldn't need to know that to be – even if they didn't know that, it would still be very common – it would still be very understandable for them to see Volkanovski on Fight Island and at the Fighter Hotel or in these places where they probably crossed paths, you know, in the last, week or two leading up to the fight. It would be very common because you don't think that they would want Volkanovski cage side for that fight to possibly have a face off with the winner in the cage or to allow, you know, to set up that moment where the winner calls him out. Come on, bro. That sounds like good business to me. You got Volkanovski in Fight Island. He's training. They don't know he's the backup, but they do know that he's going to be there, and either the winner is going to call him out or they're going to have one of those moments and he's going to enter the cage to face off with the winner. I think so, bro. I think he was already there.
Yeah, I go back to I think he was secretly the backup plan. I mean, they may have pushed out Gamrot's name, or maybe, you know, they pushed that out there because, you know, he number six or whatever. But there's no way I think they would have put Gamrot in as a replacement because Gamrot is good. Yeah, he good. But is he on the level of Islam and Charles Oliveira? No. So I don't think – I mean, people would have going to watch the UFC regardless, but I don't think people would have been happy if Islam versus Gamrot was the main event. You know what I'm saying? So I just don't see it, man. But – I love the two fights they made. I think if Usman comes in shape, man, and I you might be right. Maybe he was in the gym. Maybe he couldn't get down to, what, one? Because they normally fight at 170, right? Yeah, he normally fights at 170. So they fighting 15 pounds heavier. So maybe he couldn't cut, you know, down to 170 that amount of time. But I don't think Usman would have took this fight knowing the guy that he's going to be fighting if he wasn't already preparing. So, yeah, man, these two fights are definitely better than the two fights that were previously announced. But this card is actually kind of, you know, it's kind of whack to me, man. you know, I don't know why the UFC does this, but this card, it's top heavy. I mean, you get the main and the co-main. Then you get Ankalaev versus Johnny Walker. I mean, you got Saeed Nurmagomedov fighting. You got Tim Elliott on the prelims. I mean, this card is kind of like whack to me outside of, you know, a couple fights. So thanks Usman and thanks Volkanovski for definitely saving this card, because this card definitely isn't that strong, you know, of a pay-per-view, if you ask me.
So I'll say this. I think that Kamaru Usman is going to be a different type of fight for Hamza Chimaev, because similar to Gilbert Burns, where it's like, you know, he said that he was wary of going to the mat with Gilbert Burns, and he knew the threat that was there if he did. It's like, oh, let me just keep the fight standing and just go this way. This is my best, you know, way to it. And a lot of people think Gilbert Burns won that fight. I think Kamaru Usman will present an interesting challenge for Hamza Chimaev. I mean, the only thing that is kind of weird to me, and I'm still confused as to like how this happened, is Leon took Kamaru down. Was it in the trilogy? He took him down. I saw the footage. I'm like, how the hell did he take Usman down? Like, that is a variable I'm really confused on, because I don't know if Colby Covington even got one takedown on Usman. And Colby Covington is a you know, world class wrestler, bro. How the hell was Leon able to take Usman down? I just don't know how that happened.
It was more of a trip. I want to say he was coming in. And he was coming in, and him and Usman actually clinched each other, and then he kind of tripped him and fell back. It wasn't like it was your typical takedown where, you know, he comes in to one-legged or two-legged takedown. It was more of they was kind of sort of in the clinch, and he tripped him. That's all. And it wasn't like it was like a major, major takedown.
All right, so, I mean, I can't wait for that fight, bro. And one thing I'm also looking forward to is the face-offs. I feel like the face-off and the press conference is going to be very good now. This is going to be interesting stuff, you know. Who else is on this card?
We got Johnny Walker going against Ankalaev.
Oh, yeah, Ankalaev.
All right, the main card is like Saeed Nurmagomedov versus some dude named Muin Gufarov. Then you got, man, they got some guys up here I ain't never heard of, dog. I ain't even gonna lie. I heard of Saeed. Johnny Walker's on the.
Tim Elliott versus Muhammad Makhachev is a solid fight, bro.
Yeah, but why wouldn't they have that on the pay per view card, though?
I mean, that's true, but I guess if you put it up to the pay-per-view, I mean, the prelims would be even more of a, you know, no-name fest.
Yeah, but I would rather have the main card be strong, because I think Nurmagomedov is going to run through this guy he's fighting. I don't even know the guys that's fighting in the next fight. So I probably would have had Tim Elliott on the main card. That's just me.
Wait, Javid Basharat is on the early. Wait, I got to figure this out, man. Is that two Basharats? These dudes are savage. I'm just trying to figure this out because, yeah, there's got to be.
That ain't the same one. That ain't the same one.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because the other Basharat, because this says bantamweight, and there's no way. The Basharat I'm thinking of is the other Basharat, say welterweight or higher.
Yeah, he's a
and
beast.
He's a savage. That Basharat is a beast. And are they brothers?
They might just have the last name.
Because this dude's 14-0, Javid Basharat. I'm trying to think what the other Basharat's name is. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
That dude is a savage, bro. That guy, if they're brothers, and then the other brothers, Bonfim. The Bonfim brothers? Gabriel Bonfim. That guy is a beast, too, bro. That's another guy that's on the come up. Gabriel Bonfim. Savage.
You know, I'm trying to find this other Basharat, because you got Farid Basharat. And then you got Nakash Basharat. But I think you're talking about Farid Basharat, though.
Yeah. Well, this guy's Javid Basharat. That's on the card.
Yeah. Farid. They might be brothers because they ain't close enough, Farid and Javid. So, yeah,
wait,
we're talking about Farid.
What's going on here? Why do we have... What's going on, bro? What is this? I thought, Mike Breeden. That's the guy. Okay, nah, because my boy Terrence McKinney is on this weekend's card. I was getting confused because Mike Breeden was the guy that Terrence McKinney just fought. I was thinking he was on the Abu Dhabi card. My boy McKinney is on this weekend's card. And Mike Breeden is fighting somebody else on the Abu Dhabi card. I was thinking that they were fighting this time, but that was last time. Okay. Oh, Nathaniel Wood is on the early prelims, bro. I like Nathaniel Wood.
He's 25.
Why they only got Nathaniel Wood? But yeah, why
he fighting a guy that's 9-2 though, dog.
Yeah, but why they always got him? Why can't he like at least get on the regular prelims? Like last time we watched Nathaniel Wood. Didn't he have a banger? Nathaniel Wood just had a crazy fight with somebody. I forget who it was. It was another guy we like. And they had a crazy fight. I'm trying to think. Oh, they got Bruno Silva on this prelims too. They got some guys I like to watch. They got Abu Azaitar. Man, are they brothers too? Abu Azaitar and then Otman Azaitar?
Yeah, the one that's at flyweight.
How many brothers we got in the UFC, man? That's like dudes with – this might be the new, like, mental warfare. You got to have another one of you that's in the other division. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Nathaniel Wood for Andre Feely.
Yeah, that was the one that I'm thinking of. They just had a crazy – did you see that one?
Yeah, that was a good fight.
Those dudes had a crazy fight, bro. That one was crazy. I remember the first round – Andre Feely looked good, and like that, I want to say to me, that was the most competitive round. And I felt like rounds 2 and 3, they still looked competitive, but I felt like Nathaniel Wood took over those rounds 2 and 3, and that's why they gave him the decision. I thought it was a pretty clear one, but it was a good fight though.
Yeah, but Feely always put
Nathaniel
on good
Wood.
Fights,
you know what it was? Nathaniel Wood used to be at bantamweight. That's the thing, and now he's fighting at 145. I think that's his weight. I think he needs to be at 145. I think cutting to bantamweight was taking too much out of him because since he's been at featherweight, I think that last one was his first fight at featherweight, and I think this is his weight class. So that's pretty interesting. Shout out to Basharat brothers. I like those guys. It's an interesting thing, bro. Chimaev and Usman, that's crazy, bro. We'll see, man. Usman, yo, I would love to see Usman shock the world, bro, and Usman just, you know, I'd love to see it, bro. Imagine Volkanovski and Usman. Oh, my God. Imagine they both won. Wow. Yo, I would love to see it, man. I would love to see it. It's a long shot, you know what I mean? It's a long shot. I mean,
actually, it ain't.
It ain't a long shot, right?
No, it ain't, because if you look at it, Volkanovski, to me, he going into this fight against Islam like, really, I beat the brakes off you the last time we fought. So this time, I'm just gonna make it official. You know. I mean,
but
because
he I'm sure he's gonna make adjustments based on certain things that Islam did the last time, you know. It's like, all right,
but
like
Islam really
there.
Never did nothing to win that fight. I mean, the first two rounds Islam was okay. The first two rounds he was okay. But starting in the middle of that third round, fourth or fifth rounds, Volkanovski was the man. It was like, I wouldn't mind the fight being a draw, but, you know, I just thought Islam had a fast start, and that's why they probably gave it to him. But, hey, man, I wouldn't be shocked if the two late replacements come out victorious in this fight, because I want to say, well, me and you did our predictions, and I said Chimaev and Islam wouldn't be champions at the end of 2022. I said I didn't think Chimaev could beat Usman because of Usman's wrestling and his improved striking.
I still feel that way. Yo, that's fair play. I'm not saying – I haven't looked at the odds. I don't really know what they're saying. I know – I saw Volkanovski's a plus 275 underdog in that match. I don't know what they got, you know, how they're looking at it with Chimaev and Usman.
They haven't put any wages out. They have Islam minus 230 and Usman plus one. I mean, Islam minus 230, Volkanovski plus 190.
But you know what I did see earlier today? There's this Bet Online is like, I think that they're based in another like other country. I don't think it's in the U.S. But Bet Online, I think I saw somebody post. They posted odds for Chimaev Usman earlier today. I haven't seen DraftKings post odds. I haven't seen FanDuel post odds. Like all the. You know, all the sports books that we know that are in the States, that are in Vegas. So I haven't seen them, but I did see Bet Online. And you know what the Bet Online odds had, bro?
What's that?
They got it as a pick 'em, bro. They got it minus 110, minus 110. I'm like, yo, this is crazy, bro. Not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, yo, that's how crazy that fight is. They know how crazy that fight is.
Yeah, I'm not mad about it being a pick-em fight.
I'm not mad at that either. I read it. I was shocked because I thought they would have gassed Chimaev and put him, you know, as a 3-point favorite or something crazy and just doubted Usman just because, you know what I mean, he lost to Leon twice and they would have just bullshitted him and acted like he was washed and that he wasn't the best fighter in the world for a good period of time there. You know, because you know how they like to forget as soon as guys lose, right? But I'm not mad at those odds, bro. I was shocked because I thought they would try to, you know, do that weirdo shit with the odds. But yo, minus 110, minus 110, bro. They know how crazy that fight is, bro. They fucking know it. And you know what? I got one more thing I want to ask you about, and it's unrelated. Next week, I want to talk about Joe Piper. Shout out to Joe Piper. Dana White says, if you want to be in the UFC, be like Joe Piper, and I understand why. I don't know if you saw Joe Piper's performance this past weekend in the co-main event, but that dude, he actually fights at 185, too. That dude is on the come up, bro. I like that guy. You know, proud to be an American. You know, he's not ashamed to say he's competitive. You know, he's not with trash talk. He just wants to fight in the cage. I like the way he talks and carries himself, bro. You should watch one of his interviews. I think I'd be interested to see your take on him. But, yeah, next week I'm going to talk about Joe Piper. And then the last thing I want to ask you about right now to close it out, Your boy Bobby Green, bro. Talk to me about Bobby Green, bro. Oh, my God. Bobby Green. People want to talk about shock in the world, bro. Bobby Green, yo, just how good is Bobby Green is the question we need to ask ourselves, bro. He knocked out Grant Dawson. Bobby Green was like a plus 300 or a plus 400, something crazy, versus Grant Dawson. Grant Dawson had 20 wins, one loss. He was 20-1 going to fight Bobby Green. But that was such a bad matchup for Bobby Green. You know what I'm saying? Based on Grant Dawson's style, he likes to wrestle. He doesn't like to strike. Not a great striker, but his wrestling makes up for it, right? Pretty bad matchup for Bobby Green, if you look at it. Bobby Green's a little bit older, late 30s, fighting a guy very wrestling heavy. Not a great matchup, you know what I mean? Knocks him out in 33 seconds of the very first round with a straight left. Lee, what do we say about this, bro? Oh, my God. Oh, my
man,
God.
Man, all I know is when Bobby walked out, he walked out and he had his hands down. And Grant Dawson looked at him like, hold up, what's going on? And Bobby threw a couple punches, threw a couple feints. And when he cracked him with a straight left, and it was more of a jab than it was a power shot, and he dropped him, I was like, whoa. But, man, Bobby Green, I love Bobby Green, man. He's win or lose, dude, this guy is always entertaining. He's a positive guy. Man, and he's finally ranked. He's number 13 this week. And he said he wants to fight in December. And Bobby Green said Dan Hooker has put out a feeler that he's down to fight in December. You know how I feel about Dan Hooker. And you know how I feel about Bobby Green.
That's
so,
a fight,
man,
for you, man.
This is the fight
the
for me.
Ultimate fight for you. Man,
bro,
I never saw like two sides
me.
Of the coin come together, bro. That's so crazy. You know what I mean? Oh, my God. That's like one of your favorite guys versus probably your most hated guy. Like,
yeah, man.
Oh, my God.
I cannot stand.
That's, they made that fight. If they made that fight, I'm going to say, yo, they made that fight specifically for you, bro. Oh, my God. If you're not front and center for that fight, I'll be shocked. You know what I mean, you might.
Hey, I
can see you having a fight party
for
that one.
Fight. Yeah, huh? Man. Because oh my God, I would be friends because I think it's a good matchup for Bobby Green. I think it's a good matchup for Dan Hooker because neither one of them really want to wrestle. So, you know, they'll get in there and do their thing. So, but man, I'm so proud of Bobby Green and his performance, man. And hey. There's hopefully better things to come for that young man. You know, pass off to Bobby Green because I know you was excited because you texted me in all caps. I was like, oh, snap.
Yo, I was lit, bro. I was lit.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I think I was at work because that card was during the day, I want to say. I think it was in the afternoon.
I was at night.
And I was at
it
work.
Was at night.
It was at night?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I'm thinking about the next day when I – because, yeah, you know what it was? I was on Xbox. I was in the chat. And then they said, yeah, the main event's already over. And I was like, what? Because I didn't have it on. I was just kind of like – you know, my guys were just telling me. Because it wasn't really – I was trying to stream it on my laptop on ESPN Plus. And it just, like, wasn't working for me. It was, like, crashing my laptop out. When I was trying to run ESPN Plus, so I was like, all right, like, my guys would just kind of, like, tell me what happens. And then they're like, yeah, the main event started, and they're like, it's already over. I'm like, what? I'm like, no, it's not. I'm like, stop playing. They're like, yeah, bro, he just knocked him out. I'm like, what? They're like, yo, he came out with his hands down and just knocked him out. I'm like, yo, let's go, bro. Oh, shit. Yo, I was so happy, bro. I was like, yo, that's so sick, bro. That one defied science, you know? Because, like, Bobby Green, you know, 37 years of age, bro, fighting a wrestling-heavy 29-year-old who is undefeated in the UFC, only has a draw in the UFC, had yet to be beaten in the UFC, and, you know, pretty much a bad stylistic matchup for him, knocks him out, bro, and pretty much the opening exchange, like, in the main event. That was perfect, you know? I love it, bro. Even though, you know, he fought Tony later in Tony's career, I still think it's pretty good, man. He finished Tony, and he finished Grant Dawson. Those two wins, I like those two wins. I'm not mad at those two wins, bro. I'm not.
Yeah, man, I'm happy for him, man. I'm happy for him, dog. You know, the guy has he definitely worked his way up. But one thing we got to keep in mind, every time he get in this spot that he's at right now, Keys, he always has an untimely or bad loss. So hopefully he takes this, rides this wave into the top 10. So we'll see what happens, man. But we talked about a lot tonight, man. Mostly UFC 294 main and co-main event. Talked about Bobby Green. You know, we talked about Islam possibly trying to be a champ. But always a great show, man. We had a good time tonight. Any last words for the people, bro?
And my bad, because you just reminded me that you asked me how I felt about that when you asked it, and I don't think I really gave you a response. I don't know how I got lost in translation with that, but I'll kick it off with that next week. You know what I mean? I'll answer your question, but like, I don't know how I didn't answer. I know you asked me, and I don't recall answering it. So
you hate it. You hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like maybe my answer was pretty much assumed, but I will give my own answer, even though, I mean, you are right. I do hate it, but like, you know, I'll give the official answer next week, and then I want to talk about Joe Pfeiffer next week too, because Joe Pfeiffer's that dude. But yeah, we covered a lot tonight. You want to close it out, or you want me to close it out?
You can close it out, bro.
All right, yeah, we covered a lot tonight. As always, thank you to anybody who listens and supports. You know, hit us up on Twitter. Anything that we said you want to discuss or give your take on it, hit either of us up on Twitter or tag our group page, our team, whatever you want to call page, at Lee and Keys RT. That's Lee and Keys Real Talk at us. You'll see both of our apps on that page, you know, pretty frequently. So, you know, you hit us up, let us know. And, I don't have much else. You know, take care of your mental health. I see the stuff going on overseas. It's pretty upsetting to see that. I hope, you know, there could be some kind of resolve soon. I don't want to go too much into it. Maybe we even talk about it next week. But I hope to see some things change for the better soon. It's pretty upsetting stuff. I know, Israel is a U.S. ally, so, you know, that's how we're rocking over here. But I just hope to see things get better. I don't know how that happens, but, yeah, y'all are in my thoughts. I'll say that the people of Israel are in my thoughts. And secondly, as we're on the topic of thoughts, you know, mental health. Take care of your mental health, because you know, as your mental health is deteriorating, a lot of things around you can start to deteriorate too. You know, or maybe that's a little bit heavy. I should just say, if your mental health, if you're not doing well up top, you know, things around you can start to fall off as well. You know what I mean? Your relationships or your friendships or your career or, you know, your home life, or, you know what I mean, just staying on top of yourself, staying on top of things. You know, you can start logging to start to slip. So take care of your mental health. And, you know, because when you do, that can, you know, influence the things around you, and things around you can start to get better, and you can start to be better. So, yeah, that's all I got. And life is short. Love each other. The floor is yours, bro.
Yeah, man. Everybody have a good weekend. Take care of you. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. That being said, as always, we always end the show with a peace.